Okay, we are up to Perichov Aleph Pasik Tes Vav. Simcha Lat Sadik Asois Mishpat Umechita Pasik Tes Vav. Perek Chof Aleph, Pasik Tesvav, Simcha La Tzadik, Asos Mishpat. A Tzadik has great joy. Asos either means when he does Mishpat or when he witnesses, he observes that Mishpat is done in this world. Umechita, but it is a source Mishpat. When Mishpat is executed in this world, it is a source of destruction, of pain, of ruin, Lepoale Oven, for evildoers. Now, what does that mean? There are many interpretations. Let's see the first, very simple. First in Besudas David, Pasuk Tezvav, Simcha HaTzadik Yismach Beis Yaseh Mishpat. When the Tzadik himself does Mishpat, he has great joy. But Vasiyas HaMichta, okay, the Mitzvah says that the Asiyas of Michta, according to the Mitzvah, this is a very important point, Michita is something that's being done. When a evil person destroys, brings Churban, or does an act of corruption, this is a joy. According to the Mitzudos David, the word that needs to be repeated a second time in this pasuk is the word simcha. There is simcha when the tzaddik asos mishpat, and there is simcha for the poale oven when they are asos michita. So really we're eating in two words. We're eating in the word simcha, and we're eating in the word asos, and we're changing the order of the pasuk. Again, there is simcha la tzaddik when the tzaddik does asos mishpat. When he does mishpat, he enjoys. That's what the tzaddik wants in this world. He wants there to be mishpat. And there is simcha, there is joy, great hanon, pleasure, to the poale oven, to the evildoers in this world, when asos, when they do mechita, when they bring churban to this world, when they destroy good people, and when they bring korban and cause people tsar, it brings them great joy. This is the corrupt, perverted minds of the poale oven. This is the interpretation of the Mitzudas David. Come on, no one learns like this. This is how he learns Pshat in the Pasuk. And the reason why it's difficult with his parish is we're repeating two words, Simcha, and we're repeating the word Asos. And we're changing the order of Paul Yavin in the second half of the Pasuk. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi doesn't even want to address Pshat. Rashi right away wants to jump into the Medrash. Simcha la tzaddik asos mishpat, as you mentioned before, that the tzaddik is the tzaddikoi shel oilam, the ribbonoi shel oilam. It's a mashal. Simcha l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu lasos din bat tzaddikim. Hashem has great pleasure bringing upon tzaddikim in this world yisurim, suffering, so that they will merit Olam Haba. Very difficult concept. This Sefer Iyov. Simcha l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu la'asos din b'tzadikim kedei l'zakoisam, to bring the merit l'chayei ha'olam haba. V'simcha l'tzadik, and it is a simcha to the tzadik shakadosh baruch hu mevi yisurim alayim kedei sheyizku l'olam haba, and the tzadikim also have simcha. They also have simcha.
Really? Do they have?
I mean, I don't know. That's what it says. V'simcha l'tzadik.
Yeah,
it's very a real tzaddik, a real tzaddik. I mean, they're dealing over here with. You know,
he's happy to get paid any avonis in this world to save right. It for the next one. That world is schar for later.
Rashi repeats the idea of simcha latzid l'Kadosh Baruch Hu mevi yisurim l'olam kedei sheyizku l'olam haba, kach midrash b'medrash tehillim. Okay, then there was the second half of the pasuk following in this theme. Umechita l'chi l'poal yaven l'fi she'ein neistim lev l'shuv, but the poal yaven, the evildoers, they have tsar, shever. Mechita means destruction. Their spirit is broken. Literally, mechita means shever, to be broken. Their spirit is broken when they suffer in this world, because they are not on a spiritual level to appreciate that the suffering that they endure is for their ultimate good. Lefi she'ein neistem lev lashuv tu duchuva, ve'ein ha'yisurim moyalim lohem, the yisurim do not bring them, raise them to a higher level. Umitzadim v'loy lohayil, they have tsar, and it is of no benefit. As Rashi here indirectly is telling us a very, very frightening concept, is that even if a person, Rachamon Litzlan, has Yisurim, so he's anyway going to suffer. He might as well make the most out of it. If he's not going to take the Yisurim and use it as a springboard to elevate himself spiritually, then the suffering was for waste. He suffered, and he did not derive any spiritual benefit. Once already he feels a tsar, he should already use that tsar as a means to look into his neshama to raise himself spiritually. Okay, so this is the parish of Rashi, the parish of the Mitzudos. There are another parish given in the Mamloes, and it's a very similar parishes that when a tzadik, and he gives a story to illustrate the point, the simcha la tzadik la sos mishpat, when a tzadik sees that mishpat is executed in this world, the tzadik has great joy. But umechita, it's holding from umechita lepali oven, when the pali oven, the evildoers, when they observe that mishpat is done in this world, the pali oven have tsar. According to this interpretation, the mechita is not. Don't repeat the word asos mechita. According to according to the Mitzudos, we had it, the word mechita meant it was a verb. Asos mechita, the doing of Chorbin, causing other people to have tsar, causing other people to have suffer, was a source of joy for the Poliyah, for the Rosham. That's not what it means according to the Mamloids. It means, mechita means it is a feeling of agmas nefesh, and Chorbin, when a Rasha sees that there is justice in this world, because he realizes he's next. He's next. He realizes his entire life is corrupt. He has harmed other people, and it's just a matter of time. So he figured until now he'll get away with it. But when he sees other people are suffering, they're being called to Mishpat, and they're going to be accountable for their deeds, he realizes it's just a short amount of time until he also, his day of reckoning will come, and he will have to pay the consequences, so it is a source of tzar. And I'm always giving a very interesting mashal. The mashal gives us, there was a wagon driver, and he took a very wealthy man across country, and the person had he figured out what's in the suitcases. The suitcase was $1 million cash, and he took him cross country, and then he realized, you know what? Why don't I just kill the messenger, my customer, and I'll take the money for myself. Sakachava, as we're traveling through in some dark forest, he killed him, and he took the suitcases all for himself. He comes to a new town, and he thinks he's going to start a new life. But on the way there, he begins to have charata, libay nagfay. As he approaches the new city, he realizes it gets worse and worse, and he has charata, and he figures he's going to do tshuva. How will he do tshuva? He'll take all the money, $1 million, in the suitcase, and slowly he'll give it staka. So he comes to the city, he starts secretly wanting to do tshuva, he gives a little staka, a little more staka. All of a sudden, everyone realizes they have such a generous person here, they mechabit him, and one thing leads to another, they appoint him to be a judge. And then, over time, he becomes the chief justice, and he becomes the most distinguished person in the city. Well, of course, only because of the money. Because of the money, and this was all an accident. He killed someone, he had charata, he wanted to give away the money, and one thing led to another before he realized he was swept away, and he was elevated to this position of prominence. But one day it comes into his court a story about a wagon driver who was kidnapped his customer, kidnapped his whatever the person, and he stole his money. And it was a big secret, and the person that came arrived in the city, and there was someone there that was in the forest that was watching, and it was discovered, and now they came to Paskin Dini Nefashis on this Reitzeach. So all of the judges thought it's a davar pashut ad ma'od, he's a Reitzeach, he's Chayev Misa, and they just needed the stamp, the rubber stamp of the Chief Justice. And when the case came before him, he was numb, because he realized that he did exactly the same thing, and his success in this community is only because he got away with it. And now, by paskening Misa on this person, he's a hypocrite. He's the ultimate, he's generally a hypocrite, but this will really rub it in. So he confessed. He confessed, and he suffered the consequence, whatever they were. So here's exactly what it means when mishpat is done. Simcha lat tzaddik asos mishpat. When everyone in the community, all of the tzaddikim, people that were not nichshol and doing this type of sin, when they were now ready to kill this rotzeach, they had great joy. But umechita, but this decision to paskin Misa, dine nefashos, on this criminal was a source of shever, a source of tsar, agmas nefesh, for the judge who was Paul Oven, because he was an evildoer. He committed the exact same crime, and he realized that the paskin Misa upon this criminal would also mean that he has to decide the Misa, punishment upon himself as well. Okay, so this is the interpretation of the Mamloes. So we have really three interpretations, and the Midrashim pretty much they follow in the Derech of Rashi, but it's a little bit different. I read you what it says. This is actually a Gemara in with the Gemara Bava Basra. No, not Bava Basra, I'm sorry. The subject of the pasuk according to the Medrash is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does din, then kishu oises adin, then Hashem has simcha. Lama shehu misroimim ba'olam shenema. We say this on the yomim noiroim vayigba Hashem tzvokos ba'mishpat. Hashem is exalted through mishpat. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the evil, the wicked, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things in this world and it becomes clear that there is a din v'cheshbon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exalted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is feared. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is respected. And that respect brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu simcha. Simcha la tzaddik. There is joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu asos mishpat when he executes mishpat in this world. And umechita, and this is a source of the chorban for the evildoers when they are cut down. Okay, another pasuk that emphasizes that this same idea says in the pasuk, Noira Elokim mi mikdashecha. Hashem is awesome in his holy places. What does this mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nima she'asu b'mikdash. This that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash brought Noira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People were in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said to themselves, Hashta, Ma im lebeisai ulemikdashai lo nasaf panim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not show favoritism to his own people and to his own bias to the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does mishpat. If the people deserve to be punished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not hold himself back. La'achirim. So for other people, for the Umal Sa'olam, for people, not for his Beis HaMikdash, for an individual that is corrupt, Al-Achas Kama V'Kama Shu'asid Li'Pora Me'achirim, Hashem will punish other people. So here it's another idea. Simcha La'Tzadik Asos Mishpat parallels what it says, Noira Elokim Mi Mikdashecha. Through the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, when people came to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not show favor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu became to a madreg of Noira, we have awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, then the Medrash quotes what Rashi said. I'll just read the words: Simcha lat tzaddik asos mishpat, Simcha lat tzaddikim shakadosh baruch hu oseh bahem mishpat. Tzaddikim. Here, when it says over here tzaddik, this Rashi's second interpretation, that when it says tzaddik, the tzaddik has joy when he sees Hakadosh Baruch Hu is bringing upon him yisurim. He recognizes that these yisurim are only for his benefit to cleanse him from his sins, so he can merit olam haba. Simcha lat tzaddikim. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Oise Bochem Mishpat Shu Miknake Oisam Me Avoy Noisehem Tedelcha Shu Kain Shay David Kavan Shapoga Bemidas Hadin Hiskil Smechem Zamer Mizmol David Shabarcha Bibne Avshalom Binoi. When David is saying the mizmor, when he ran away from Avshalom, he had simcha. Why? He recognized that it's abnormal for a child to want to kill his own father, and this must be lemal miderech hateva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing me in this world in order to cleanse me in the neshama for the next world. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk tezayin adam toyam miderech haskel bekal rifoim yonuach. This is, I think, a more well-known pasuk, and it warns a person if a person deviates from derech haTorah, he's going to end up in Gehenim. The word Rifa'im is a code word for Gehenim. Let's see, and here there, Haskel. Haskel means the way of Torah. Let's see, Pasuk Tezayin in the Mitzudos, Miderech Haskel, Miderech HaTorah. A person, he toya, he errs, he deviates from the way of Torah. Watch out. You're treading, you're going down a very dangerous path. Bekahal, Ratzolaymar, Achar Hamisa, after death, Keshiyah Bekahal Hamesim, when the neshama will be in the assembly of the dead. There are a lot of different places in Gehenna, a lot of different places in the Olam HaEmes. It's a big makom, much bigger than this world, and a lot of different places to go. Oz Yenuach V'lo Yiteh Oid. So a person then is supposed to rest. Now he's saying over here something very interesting. When a person in the next world, a person is neshama, after a person dies, even Rishoyim in the next world have menucha. They will no longer continue to make mistakes. But every single day of his life, he continues to err and to deviate more and more. Okay, the mitzvah, for whatever reason, is not concluding the end of the pasuk, but he is incidentally telling us something very interesting. Adam toya miderech haskel, that even a person that in this world he goes off the derech, but bekahal rifa'im yanuach, in the next world that's called the olam ha'emes, everyone recognizes the emes. No one there makes mistakes. That's an amazing idea. That there, everything is clear. Everything in the Olam HaEmes is clear, and even the wicked find menucha. They find menucha. It may be they're finding menucha in Gehenim, but at least they have menucha from not making mistakes like they do in this world. That's what the Masuda says. When we're talking these words, they're very powerful words. Achar Hamisa, Kishayiye Bekala Mesim, when an neshama is in the assembly of the dead, Oz Yonuach, he will rest. Vilo yiteod, will no longer make mistakes. Aval, that implies that as long as a person is alive, every day he makes more and more mistakes. He doesn't learn from his errors. Aval kol yimei chayav hu moisif v'hoylich litois b'chol yom yoser. Every single day a person makes more and more mistakes. Okay, Rashi. They have menucha from making mistakes. There are two different in this world, people can. That's what it says. People make mistakes. I guess making mistakes itself is a tsar. Subconsciously, we realize we're addicted to certain things which are not correct. Everyone on their madrega has things they realize are not 100%, and it's very hard to break out of it. And as time goes on, we get steeped more and more in our wicked ways, and that itself is frustrating. That itself is painful. Isn't that not true? Someone who's addicted, the tsar of not being able to break out of their addiction itself is very frustrating. Plus, the consequences. Besides the fact that every time the person does something wrong, he's going to have to pay a price. So in the next world, there's going to be a price to pay. That you can't get away from. Gehenim is the place of where you pay the price. But at least in Gehenim, you have the menucha from the addiction, from the continuing to go to. You know, it's shocking. I think Bernie Madoff. They had a lot of interviews already with him since he's in jail. So yeah, they have a lot of interviews. So one of the things he actually says is that now he has menucha. He doesn't have menucha, but like living a lie. Right, living a lie. So he lives in a teeny little. I mean, he lives in horrible conditions, and he knows how much tsar, and he has to with his children.
No one's going to come after him anymore.
His children. One of his children committed suicide. Right? Is that correct? Yeah. I mean, the consequences are noid of ayim. What he's suffering, the suffering. But he and. And in the next world, the tzad that he caused people, there's nothing to talk about. But he says this, like, now at least I'm not living this lie. I'm not living this lie. And that, he felt, is like, you know, it's a yuck off my head.
It's a burden off.
So that's what it says here. That's what it says, that in Gehenim, jail is supposed to be Gehenim. I don't know, in America, Baruch Hashem, they have nice, comfortable jails, but Olam HaBa is not going to be like that. But it says here still, a shocking thing what it says. These two words don't normally go together. This is an oxymoron to say such a thing. That in Rifa'im Yanuach, in Gehenim you have Menucha. That's what it says. There is a degree of Menucha.
Yes, he was living in prison while he was not in prison.
Okay, let's see over here what Rashi says. Rashi Pasik Tesvav.
He kept saying eventually it's going to come down. He wanted to get out, but he just had no idea how to do it.
It was too deep.
Yeah, he just couldn't stop.
While he had it all, he enjoyed it?
Did he really enjoy it? Not so snow, I don't know. Let's see what he says. Tezvav. Adam Rashi. Adam Tabidir Haskel Perish Minat Torah. Like examining with the Mitzvah says, Bikal Rifoim Ba'adas Gehenim. Rashi is a bit more explicit. According to the Mitzvah, he says in the Kahal HaMesim. That doesn't necessarily have a bad connotation. It doesn't mean that the fire is on in the assembly of the dead. Here, the Rashi says, no, Rifoim means. It means Gehenim. Okay, now I'll just quote you the Gemara. This really comes from the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra. Ki also Rabbi Dimi Amar Rabbi Yonah's son Kol Haparish Atzma Lidere Torah Neifel Bo Gehenim. Anyone that separates from Torah falls in Gehenim. Shenemar Odom Tov Miderech Haskel Bekal Rifam Yanuach. Okay, exactly. The Inufam El Gehenim Shenemar. How do you know that the word Rifa'im means Gehenim? It's a pasuk we had this before in Perek Tes. V'lo yada ki Rifa'im sham be'imke she'ol kiru eha. It's associated with the word the imke, the depth of the she'ol is of the grave, and therefore in that context we know that the word Rifa'im means Gehenim. Rifa'im means also means the lashon of loose or roughly. To be loosened. In the Gehenna, a person is weakened. He's weakened from his sins, whatever that means exactly. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ish machzor oyev simcha, oyev yayin voshemen lo yashim. We have to read the words backwards. An ohev simcha, a person that loves to have a good time in this world, he pursues simcha, will ultimately be an ish machzor, will be a poor man. There's no discipline, there's no self-control, no restraint. He'll spend all his money on simcha and will have nothing left for his basic needs. And furthermore, ohev yayin v'shemen, a person that loves wine and oil, the same idea, he loves simcha, things which bring him joy, lo yashir, he will not become a wealthy man. Pasuk Yud Zayin in the Mitzvah Stavid, Ish Machzor, so the Mitzvah right away tells us three words backwards, out of order, ho'ohev simcha smachal u'mishteh, a person that loves to eat and to drink, yihye ish machzor, will be a man that is lacking, rotzol leimar, chosar mikol toiva, will be lacking all good, ohev yayin v'shemen, kofal adavar b'mil Rashi, Pasik Yud Zayin, Oyev Ish Machzor, Misha Oyev Simchas Mishte Tomid, a person that loves to rejoice constantly, Pasik with self understood, he will be lacking. Okay, we have over here no Midrashim. Let's go to the next Pasik. Pasik Yud Ches, Koifer La Tzadik Rosha, Vesachas Yesharim Boygate. The atonement for a tzaddik is a rasha. And in the place of yesharim, upright people, Hashem takes away from this world the boygeid, people that are treacherous, people that are sinners, who rebel. In other words, this is a very, very frightening concept, is no bad deed, okay, I'm play on the expression, no bad deed goes unpunished. A bad deed must be punished. And if a person does tshuva, this is a shocking idea, if a person does tshuva, all that means is he will not get the punishment. But the punishment will go forth to someone or to somewhere else. Who will get the punishment? Someone else. Another person at the other end of the world will suffer the punishment that the tzaddik was meant to suffer. Now how does that make sense? Why should one person, does the other person on the other end of the world, does he deserve to suffer? So we have to assume yes. But we also have to assume that he would at this point in time in history would not suffer. His punishment would come at a later point in time. But because because the tzaddik did tshuva, and the tzaddik now is not going to suffer, and its punishment is coming down to this world that was originally aimed at the tzaddik, it's like a missile, a high-tech missile, a cruise missile has been launched. There's no way you can abort. Once the missile, the Tomahawk cruise missile, is now over the Atlantic, there's no way you can bring it back. You can't bring it back to the ship. It's the only thing you can possibly do is change the coordinates. Instead of it landing in Iraq, you can have it land in the Persian Gulf. You can change the coordinates to land in a place or in the middle of the desert where no one will be harmed. A tzaddik does an avera. The avera that a tzaddik does causes a Tomahawk missile to be launched. And it's just a matter of time until that then the coordinates are plugged in to attack, to come, GPS, to go right onto the tzaddik. And if the tzaddik doesn't do tshuva, the missile will attack. He will suffer the consequences. If the tzaddik does tshuva, the pasuk is telling us, there's no way to abort. There's no way to take that missile back. And there's no way to, like you see in the movies, to have the missile explode. Doesn't work like that. There's no button that caused the missile to explode. The missile has to... The only way the missile explodes is when it hits, makes contact. The only thing you can do is change the coordinates. So who then will suffer the consequences? A Russia. So instead of the coordinates being aimed at the tzaddik, but being that he did tshuva, the coordinates are changed. It will now attack. Zoom in, it will lock on to a Russia. And the pasuk repeats itself in the end of the pasuk the same way, Yashar. A Yashar doesn't Avera, but he does Tshuva. So instead of the punishment coming upon the Yashar, the punishment will come upon a Boigade, an individual who has rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Boigade is just a synonym for a Russia. Let's see the Mitzudos. Possibly that's so you want this because they did the Aveira. Normally that means that in Pranis Balilim Elevishim is a wake up call. That's a wake up call that Hashem brings Pranis to wake up Klal Yisrael. Here you want to say something much deeper that Elevimnei, the Pranis that came to the world was because of the sins of the Tzaddikim, but it's only that they did Shuvah, so it was not directed at them, it was directed at some other third world nation. This is a very difficult concept to grab. It's, you know, hashkafically, why should a person suffer when they're not? The suffering was not. They're not. They have not. They're not the root of the suffering. Why should someone else come in your place? So we have to obviously assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a cheshbon, that these people really deserve to suffer from long ago. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared them from suffering for whatever reason. But now that tzaddik, who done averus, and the suffering needs to come. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use this opportunity to punish those people that anyway deserve punishment from long ago. It's still very unsettling, and it's not good on the resume of a tzaddik, because we know that the tzaddik is such a concept that if a person is the cause, megalgalin zuchus al yidei zakai v'choyva al yidei chayev, no one wants to be the cause of someone else's suffering, even though it's a complete accident. It's not my fault. I have nothing to do. I just don't want to be the cause why you have to lose all this money. You have to send the hospital. You have to have this tragedy. Even though I'm 100% not responsible. So here as well, if a tzaddik does an avera, it's a very frightening concept. So he'll do tshuva shlema. He'll be mechaper. But still, that suffering will come to the world, will come to someone else, a kapar for him. But that means that the tzaddik was the cause of someone else's suffering, even though he's not responsible. But still, you don't want to be the cause. That's a very frightening idea. But that's what it says. And this idea is repeated very often in the Chazal. Even on the Yom Leram, we say, or if you ever can help me with the Nusach of Nisan HaTaykef. Nisan HaTaykef is Ushuva Usfilu Utsedaka Ma'avirin Es Roya Hagezera. What does it mean, Ma'avirin? Doesn't say Ushuva Usfilu Utsedaka is Mechaper, atones. It causes it to dissipate. It causes it to be cleansed. Ma'avir means to cause to pass. The punishment is coming down, whether you like it or not. Sin triggers an automatic launch of a missile. It's launched. There's nothing you can do to prevent it. Now, Shuvu Silut Staka Mavirin causes the coordinates to change. Instead of it coming to you, it will pass over you, but it's going to come to strike down someone. Who is it going to strike down? I don't know. It's going to strike down someone on the other end of the world. Let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk Yud Ches.
Isn't that sort of related like to the body of the heart of power? So if the righteous person does tshuva, that means the Rasha now gets an additional punishment that he can't do anything about because he hasn't done
something along those lines. But why should a person suffer if he didn't? Why should a person suffer if he doesn't deserve to suffer? So the answer is he does deserve to suffer. Mm-hmm. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until this point in time, for whatever reason, held back the punishment. But now is an opportunity to let the Rasha suffer.
It seems like there's a certain point by where you go that if you do enough evil, you get to a certain point where you're like, anything that happens to you is justified.
Exactly. But it's still not good for the resume of the tzaddik that he's the cause of why the Rasha is now being punished. No one wants that on their resume. The Rasha deserves it.
If an ISIS person...
Yeah.
You know, who cares how much suffering he does?
Exactly.
More the merrier.
But still, does the tzaddik want that he should be the one that pushed the trigger? Go take these mishugan that burnt that pilot, burnt them alive.
Yeah.
Most barbaric thing that's probably happened in recent times.
Right.
Go take a poll. Let's say we capture this barbarian. Do you be the one that wants to torture him to death? To shoot him to death? Put the bullet in his head?
Didn't Shul take the sword and cut off Agag's head?
Okay, Hashem told him to do it. But let me ask you, would you be the one? Would you be the one to be willing to pull the trigger?
Why not?
Yeah?
When you barach him on a Rosh, then you're
not... No, okay, that's right. We're going to kill him 100%. 100%, but... Okay, I don't know what to say. Maybe you're right.
That's why when they have a firing squad, there's only one bullet and like nine blanks, so that nobody should know.
What? Yeah, there is such a no. There are multiple people. Firing squad.
Nine bullets and one blank.
Well, something like that.
Might not be
in China, they pay a lot of money. People, no one wants the job. In China, they execute people right and left. That's what they say. That's what I've read at least. Mice and Machol Yom, they kill, and it's a job. And no one wants the job. What? I'm sure they must advertise it. Look in the New York Times. There you want to go?
in Elizabethan England,
yeah,
they used to pay little boys that when they hung someone,
yeah,
to jump on their legs. Because sometimes the weight was not enough to kill the guy. And the guy was being tortured. So he would pay little boys, jump on my feet, and pull the body down so I'd choke and die right away.
Aye, aye. Okay, so this is a very frightening idea. Koyfer la tzaddik rasha. The atonement for the tzaddik is the rasha. Punishment must come, but instead of coming upon the tzaddik, comes upon the rasha. The sachas yisharim in place of the yisharim will come back. Let's see the mitzvah pasuk yitches. Koyfer im nigzar misa al hatzaddik. Okay, shocking thing it says. If misa has been decided on the tzaddik, uvotla hagezera, and the gezera is bottle. The tzaddik did tshuva. The tzaddik gave tzedakah. The tzaddik did the chesed. And Hashem says this man's going to live a very long time. Look what it says here. Ein midas hadin mispayes. Midas hadin, the satan says, Hashem, it's not fair. It's not fair. You gave me a job. Parnasa. I'm out of parnasa. You gave me a job. Is not mispayes ad ki yutan rasha lepidyon. Shocking type Maimar Chazal. What? So that means that before a person, many people do have Averis. This is Maisim Chol Yom, even the greatest of the great. You know, ain't tzaddik Maris Shayastav Lo Yacht. I'll do a little Avera. Come on. Come on. How? I can't be at tzaddik the whole day. It's so hard. Just a little Avera. Just talk a little bit during davening.
Only 1 million.
Just a little Avera. And I'll do tshuva.
It doesn't mean a lot.
I'll do tshuva. It's the middle of the winter now. By the time we come, and there'll be an Elul, and it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. I'll do tshuva. And Taka, he does tshuva. He'll do tshuva, and it's very. But just because he did tshuva, it doesn't mean. It means that. But he did an avera. And for the Aveira, the Midas Hadin, the Satan, was given permission to bring harm to this world. And you did tshuva, so you're not going to get it, but someone else will get it. So when you wake up in the morning and you read the newspaper and you see that in Cambodia, some person suffered some type of bizarre tragedy, you know that was your fault. And that person deserved it. Why did that person deserve it? For whatever reason, because he did an Aveira. But you're the cause of why he was punished today. If not for you, he would have been punished next week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, maybe not. It's not a very pleasant thing to do an Aveira, because no matter what happens, the Midas Hadin is given koyach. That's what it says. It's a very disturbing chazal, and many people don't have a very hard time grasping this idea. Rashi pasik yudches koifer la tzadik rosha v'sachas yishar miboyget. Tzadik nechlatz. The tzadik escapes. He escapes the rosha b'tachtof. Kegoy Mordechai v'haman. Rashi is going to the Medrash. Mordechai, the daughter. Haman's daughter wanted to throw a pile of garbage on Mordechai, and instead threw it on Haman. Okay, that's just one small example. The gallows that Haman prepared for Mordechai were used for Haman and his own 10 sons. Okay, let's see. Now, there's another example. This chazal is quoted in all of my sefarim that I used to prepare, the same medrash, in reference to Moshe and Paro. When Paro found out that Moshe, he killed the Mitzri, killed a Jew. So Moshe, instead with his Dibur, he killed the Mitzri. So Paro caught him, and he was taken to the palace, and Paro decided that Moshe's Chayiv Misa. And he told the executioner, lift up your sword and decapitate Moshe. Isis was in operation in ancient Egypt. And he told him, decapitate Moshe Rabbeinu. The executioner picked up the sword, and as it tried to hit Moshe's neck miraculously turned into stone, and the sword had no shlita over Moshe's neck. So the executioner tried harder and harder. And by trying so hard, the blade slipped off the handle of the sword, and the blade flung and chopped off the head of the chief justice, the judge that was Goyzer Misa upon Paro. So that's exactly what happened here on the Moshe. So that's exactly what it says with this pasuk, that the Koyfer Tzadik Rasha, that in the place of the Tzadik Moshe is the Tzadik, in the place of Moshe the Rasha, the judge was killed by the blade of the sword. Mecherev Paro. That's why he called his child Eliezer. Okay, let's see. Paro wanted to kill Moshe, and the sword was dulled upon the neck of Meal Tzavaroi. The sword, the blade broke. The blade fell upon the neck of the shayter, the judge. And upon this incident, on this my chazal, we apply the pasuk that we mentioned over here, koifer la tzadik rasha, the atonement of the tzaddik. In place of the tzaddik comes the rasha, v'sachas yishorim comes the boyged. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yotes, Toiv Sheves Be'eretz Midbar. We had this idea before. It's better to live in the desert, me'eshes midyanim v'chos, than to live at home with a wife who is contentious, who likes to fight, v'choas, and is full of anger. Anger here can mean in many different interpretations. Either means that she, a wife that's full of kas, or through her saying nasty things to the husband is mole kas. You know, it's amazing what you could say to a person, and how you, I know of a person, I can't tell you any of the details, but this person, his wife insulted him. She said two things to him. She must say a lot of nasty things to him, but there are two things that she said to him that mamish cut into his neshama. And every other day I hear him complaining, and I hear him saying over, mamish, he's shattered, and he says, my wife, she said this. Is it true? He keeps on asking his chavrusa, is it true what she says? And it's just remarkable how, listen, your wife must have said a lot worse. But for some reason, this particular comment, it cut into his neshama. And Pasuk here says, better go out into the desert, live all alone, than to be home with a wife that's going to what? To tell him this pasuk? Well, that's what he does. He goes out of the house. He has to escape. He has to. That's right. I've heard him say this comment. He says over these two things. I just can't get over it. And every time he says it, it's like the first time it happened. And he's been saying this already. I heard him say it at least 5 times over a long period of time. And I see it really, really, really hurt him. It hurt him, and this is probably Kleinikai, in my opinion, a big deal. The other things must have been going on that are really not nice. But so it's, you don't know, you koyach. It's frightening. It's frightening what people can say, how they can cut into you.
I had a person like that. He drank like a fish at Kiddush, and sometimes he would say, "All right, that's enough." I said, "Why do you drink so much? How do you say it was so fine?" I see you drink like crazy. He said, "Now I had enough." He said, "I want to drink just enough so I'm able to get home and pass out before she starts yelling it out here."
Yeah. Okay, let's see what it says over here. Let's see the mitzvahs.
I mean, doesn't how he explained
that it's good for the husband, yeah. Abuses his wife. Domestic abuse. Yeah, and Hanami, that's the majority. Yeah, that. Why do we talk about the husband abusing the wife? Isn't that more common? Domestic violence. Most cases of domestic violence is with a husband abuses the wife. That's both physically and verbally. Emotionally, verbally. Most cases, most psychologists deal, shalom bayis, which is where the husband abuses the wife. I read an article once talking about, don't forget, there are many cases where the wife also abuses the husband. we have to have rachmanis on the men also. It's a niya tanimka and a nimsa. But in Echanami, I don't know the answer. Why don't we discuss the other way around, with the husband, the more common case, the husband is abusing the wife?
Because if Shlomo Melch was writing for the women, he would have been like that.
I don't know the answer.
But you better develop a sense of language facility.
Yes.
You can apply the abuse, verbal abuse, much more.
They can take the abuse.
Much better.
They can take it. They can rebound from the abuse. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Let's see. Let's see what it says here. The mitzvah supposed to test merits midbar b'makom shein anoshim, where there's no people. It's better to go into isolation where there are no people. Ne'eshes milasheves b'makom miyushav im eshes midyanim v'hasmodas kas, and there's an intensity, a continuous strife kas that is in the house. Now, this pasuk was repeated. I don't know why the mamlo is, he struggles. Why this idea is repeated? We only had a few psukim ago. We had come out the same exact idea. He says this is more intense. There's more intensity in this pasuk. Here it says v'kas. Here it says he's in the midbar. In the previous pasuk, it said that he's on the roof. He's on the gag. So at least he's on his own property. At least he hasn't been driven out of his own home. He's on the roof. He goes into the basement, but he's at least home. And here it says that he already was driven out of the community. He's in the desert, and it's not just there are midyanim. It's midyanim which leads to kas. So there's a greater intensity that's being built up in this perek. I'm not sure what this means. So let's see over here what it says in Pasuk Tes in Rashi. Toy v'sheves be'eretz midbar gam zal siluk hashin nemar. Rashi is telling us to go back to what we learned before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was obsessed. Hashem said, cannot rest the Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is a place of kas. Menashe Omoin have brought Avodah Zarah into the Heichel, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the bed is too short for me. You can't have the bed is too short to sleep on. I cannot coexist in this mikdash with an avodah zara, and therefore Hashem says I am leaving. I'm going to go to the gag. From the gag, the shechina went into exile 10 different steps before it completely departed. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chav is a beautiful pasuk. It's a beautiful parish from the Mam Lois. What this pasuk means? Oitzar nechmod voshemen binvei chacham uchsil adam yivalen. Okay, simply it means a treasure. The person has to know the meat of his stopkus, to of restraint. A in the Neveh, we'll read the words backwards, in the Neveh Chacham, in the abode of a wise man, are treasures. And shemen simply means commodities. Shemen, oil, it means a precious soil, expensive oil, which is worth a lot of money. It's just another example of an oitzer nechmad, of a precious oitzer. These things are stored away in the Neveh Chacham for the long term. Save it for when you'll need it. But a foolish person has no self-restraint, no restraint, and he immediately takes the oitzer, his wealth, his treasures, and he uses it, he abuses it, and he swallows it up. Before you turn around, there's nothing left for his old age. He has nothing left for later. Uchsil, a foolish person, Adam, uchsil Adam, the foolish of mankind, yevalenu, swallow up treasures and swallow up good oil, leaving nothing for the future. Let's first see the Mitzilus Pasachav, oitzer, derech hachocham, it is the way of a wise man, la'atzar, be'oitzor, devarim nechmadim, to store in his treasure house precious items, v'shemen toif, and precious oil, le'skayim, in order that it should be there, le'es hatzach, for a time of need, avlak seal, a foolish person, shemadim, the fools among mankind, be'odo be'kapo, od, lo'hinichoy mi'odo, while the item is still in his palm of his hand before he even puts it down on the table, yivalenu, he'll already use it up, v'lo yachosh im lo yimsa le'etz hatzoch, he doesn't care that it will not be available at the time when he really needs it, when time that's important. Okay, Rashi says, uchsil adam, uchasilus shel adam, he learns, not like the mitzvah, it's not the fools among mankind, but it means the foolishness in man. The foolish nature of a human being causes a person to spend his life savings and then he'll have nothing left when he really needs it. Now the Mamlois, he provides a beautiful interpretation. We ask the question, what does it mean here, the shemen, the oil? And what over here does the oitzer nechma, this precious, what's the oitzer nechma in the day of the chacham? So he says, refers to a library. The ultimate oitzer nechma is a person's library at home. And the shemen is the midnight oil. Just like we have a Gemara, the Gemara talks about Rabbi Yehuda ben Gurion. They brought up to the attic, there were contradictions in Sefer Yecheskel. There were contradictions, and the Rabbanim wanted to put Sefer Yecheskel in Geniza, because it seemed to be heretical. And he brought up 13 barrels of oil, and he spent the whole night, or spent multiple nights, analyzing the Sefer Yecheskel in order to resolve the contradictions. So here it says Oitzer Nechmad Voshemen. It's an expression which means B'nevei Chacham, a wise man has a library of good books, and he also has shemen, the oil, to read the good books, to stay up the entire night studying the good books. That's what you'll find in the Neveh, the abode of a chacham. Go to a home that's a home. There's no television, there's no internet, and what do the children do? They have books. You always hear this. They have books. You have read. You read chachma. That's what you'll find in the Neveh Chacham, in Oitzer Nechmad, a library, and Shemen, and I guess here in the bigger picture, it means the drive, the motivation to study what's in the Oitzer Nechmad. But Chasil Adam, but the foolish people of man, Yivalenu, they swallow, he doesn't really explain how the end of the Pasuk in Amlo is, Yivalenu, they swallow it up. Maybe it means they swallow up time. Yivalena, they just waste, they swallow themselves up. They swallow up their time, wasting their time on nonsense and not taking advantage of the Oitzer Nechmad and the Shemen. Okay, now there is a Medrash. The Medrash says, I'll read you the whole word, the whole Medrash. Omar al-Klapi mi nemar posuk zeh. The question is always, who is the subject of this pasuk in the eyes of the Medrash? And the answer is Yehoshua ben Nun, the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says about him, Oitzer nechma v'shem ben nevei chacham, k'silam yivlenu, Oitzer zo toira, yira sashem hi oitzarai, v'in yira ela toira, shenemar v'rokol amaret yishem Hashem, ke nechmad elu hanavim, the Nevi'im, the Oitzer Nechman Nevi'im, Shem Esnabim B'Divrei Torah, Shem Nechmadim, Shem En Elu HaKsuvim, Shem Mis Mashchim B'Gufa Yisholadim K'Shemen, V'Shikuli Yatzmai Secha, B'Nevei Chacham Zemosh Rabbeinu Shenikra Chacham. Okay, so what's saying over here? Okay, he's saying over here, Oitzer Nechmad V'Shemen is Torah, Nevi'im U'Ksuvim. The three different parts of the Torah. We're saying today in every day in Shemoneh Esrei. Alokeinu, we have a say to Baruchinu B'Barucho, Hamishuleshes Bat, Baruchinu B'Barucho, Hamishuleshes
Torah
Ksuva. So some Lord Hamishuleshes refers to Torah Nevi'im Ksuva, I don't remember. But we have here three, according to the measure, a very interesting idea. Oitzer is Torah, Nechmad is Nevi'im, and Shemen is Ksuvim. Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim are to be found in the Nevei Chacham. In the abode of the Chacham, a Talmud Chacham, he will have accomplished, mastered all three of these things. But the Ksil, the foolish person, Yivalenu, he wastes his time, he does not study, Torah does not have these three precious resources. Very interesting way to look at this pasuk. Let's now go to pasuk Chof Aleph, very, very famous pasuk. Roideif tzedaka v'chesed, yimso chayim tzedaka v'chavoid. A person that pursues his roideif tzedaka v'chesed, acts of kindness, of righteousness and chesed, he will merit to find chayim life, tzedakah, that appears to be the same word is used in the beginning of the pasuk and the pasuk, the chavod and honor. And let's see what this means in the mitzudos. Roidif, haroidif laso, tzedakah v'chesedim, habriyos, a person that wants to do tzedakah and chesed people, yimse gamu me'ashem chayim, so mida keneged mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do with him tzedakah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant him life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant him honor. Okay, the mitzudos is giving us a very simple interpretation. Mida keneged mida, if you want to do chesed and tzedakah with other people, Hashem will do for you, will reciprocate and grant you life, tzedakah, and honor. Now, there are many midrashim. Let's go one midrash at a time. The first, let me actually do it from this sefer, because here I think it's a little bit shorter. Okay, first midrash. Roideif tzedakah v'chesed yimse chayim tzedakah v'chavod. So the first thing is Gemara Masechet Brachos. Chesed. What does it mean, chesed? Zu gemilas chesed. Shenemar roideif tzedakah v'chesed yimse chayim tzedakah v'chavod. So it's not clear what this Gemara means. Here in the Sefer Divrei Chachamim, he has a very long analysis of this Gemara. Brachos Taf Hei on the base. The Gemara tells us that when it says chesed, I am pursuing tzedakah and chesed, I am pursuing gemilas chasadim. And what does that mean? What is the difference between chesed and gemilas chesed? What are the difference between these two things? So he explains here as follows. Chesed is, here's an oni comes to the house, knocks on your door, and he says, can you give me some money? Can you give me some tzedakah? So you say to him, you good for nothing. You should get a job. Look at your lifestyle. Look what your parents did to you. Look at what your rabbi did to you. Look at the community. And you berate him and you curse him out. And then when it's all over, you give him $10. Okay, so did you do tzedakah? Yeah, you did tzedakah. But you gave it in a nasty way, and you let him know that I'm doing you a big favor. I'm doing you a favor. Whatever, you rank him out, you don't rank him out, whatever. That's cool. But the bottom line is, when the day is over, he has what to eat. And you gave, and he doesn't have any shame. Hey, that's his nature. He doesn't have that much. He doesn't care. He has what to eat. You've done chesed. Then there's something called gemilas chasadim. Gemilas chasadim, the word gemila goyma means reward. It's due to you. When you say to a person, you deserve this. You're such a good person. Your situation is not your fault. The reason why you find yourself in this matzav is nothing to do with you. That's the minas shamayim. And you're such a good person. You do chesed, you learn, you do this, you do that. I'm giving you the money You're doing me a favor. You're doing me the biggest favor by allowing me to help you, allowing me to support you. You deserve it. That's called gemilas chasadim, because the word gemilas comes from the word goimel, and goimel means reward, and reward by definition means something that you deserve. You deserve, and it comes to you. So here, the fact the pasuk says rodev tzedakah v'chesed does not say osay oset tzedakah v'chesed, but rodev, to pursue. The expression to pursue means you're doing gemilos chesed. You're not just giving a person chesed. Here's an act of kindness. You're telling him, I'm giving you something that you're entitled to and you deserve. I actually once saw this. I actually saw a person. This whole approach, he wanted to help with someone else, and it was very inspiring. He told the person that you deserve it. I'm not giving you this because doing you a favor. He really flavored the whole presentation in a way where he told the person that you're entitled to receive this gift, and don't have any shame in taking it. And it's yours. It's a tremendous thing. That is called gemilas chesed, and Chazal knew we're referring to that type of chesed because it says the word roidef. Only a person that is sincere. You're chasing the recipient. Now where the recipient is coming to extract the shnor money from you, can it be called gemilas chesed? So it's a very, very fascinating word. Now, in addition to that, very nice Jewish, he also just quotes the famous Chazal. Chazal tell us, the in general, what is the difference between chesed and tzedakah? Well, gemilas chasadim. Number one, tzedakah b'mamonai. The word tzedakah generally is reserved for cash, for mamon. Whereas gemilas chesed is bein megufay, bein b'mamonai. Gemilas chasadim means you do chesed. You visit the sick. You bury the dead. You actually are oisik. You use your body to do acts of kindness, not just writing a check. Another example, tzedakah lo aniyim. Tzedakah is a term that is generally used when the recipient is a poor person, whereas gemilas chasadim is bein la'aniyim, bein la'ashirim. Sometimes the very rich also need an act of kindness. Tzedakah l'chayim, gemilas chesed, bein l'chayim, bein l'meisim. You can be goimel chesed with the dead. Tzedakah is something which is only done for the poor. Okay, so that is one, that is already two mehalchim in the meaning of what it means. Tzedakah, what it means, chesed. Now, what is the end of the pasuk? End of the pasuk says, Yimsa, you will find tzedakah. So we learn the mitzudos. Hashem will give a person, Hashem will bestow tzedakah. But according to the Medrash, it means something much deeper, that a person will have the siyata d'shmaya to give tzedakah to people that are deserving of the tzedakah. Unfortunately, many people out there are not the real thing. Go to the statistics. When you give tzedakah, how much of the money you give to tzedakah really goes to tzedakah? Do you ever watch, was it PBS? Channel 13? They have campaigns, telethons to raise money. So do you, if you give $100, do you know how much money that money goes to stock at the charity?
10%.
Not even.
Well,
not even 10%.
I know, but they say figure
10%. So can you imagine 90% is going to for administrators to $10. So when you have an opportunity, when they tell you 100%, you have a flying advertisement, 100% of the money that you're giving is going to its stalker, that's quite an accomplishment. There's once an organization that made that claim, and then some nasty person came along and they dug up records and showed that they paid for printing, for advertisements. They found the bill of how much money, so they claimed that it wasn't 100%, it was only 99.3% of the money you gave went at Stalker. 0.7%, 0.7 of 1% went to pay for printing costs for the flyers. So we got you. It's a scandal, which not necessarily was even true, because it couldn't very well be that 0.7% was underwritten by someone else because he found the bill. You're able to go online, you're able to go find the bill. Doesn't mean that money went, that money was paid by your tzedakah.
Right.
Could be there was a sponsor.
$1 million for the printing. You wouldn't have printing, you would have had an extra $1 million.
I don't know the whole story, but it was like, oh, we got you. We got you. That was the best you could do. If you go, you would find.
What? Color brochures that you get.
Yes, who pays for that?
I don't know.
Who pays for that? And they and on the advertisement it says 100% goes to Tzedakah. Okay, very good. They're giving away all the money, but the people that are receiving the money, maybe they're fakers. Just because they, you know, they're giving money.
I started giving money to these guys in Beit Shemesh who are hitting the people.
So what do they say?
We'll get back to you.
We'll get back.
Call them a second time.
Okay, so maybe they're also very poor. Sometimes they also, you know. So we don't know. So what?
PBS is raising money for the...
For who? For ISIS?
For their program.
For their programming? Okay, so they consider it to be... They consider.
It used to be federally funded, but then...
So you think you're giving it for their fund, but they're not. But it's not for the. It's not for them. It's for 90% is not going. Okay, I don't know. But it is a very. You go to a Chinese auction. You see these brochures. They cost a lot of money to produce. They hire professionals to put together. It's a lot of work that goes into it.
Hire the yeshiva.
What?
The professionals hire the yeshiva.
Okay, whoever it is.
The guy who runs it. The money, but he needs a non-profit, so he goes to yeshiva and says, I'll give you
we'll 10%. Make him very good, 10%.
He does all the work.
But it's a lot of work, a lot of talent, a lot of time, and it's not happening for free. It's not happening for free. Well, you go to a dinner, and you go to a dinner, how much a dinner cost? So this is what it says. A person that's really different. When a person gives tzedakah, he may be shocked to discover he thinks he's giving away $10,000 a year to tzedakah, when really from that $10,000, how much of the money really went to people that were in need? $1,000, $2,000, $3,000? It's very frightening. And there's really no way around it. But here the pasuk says that a person is sincere, he's roidef. Roidef is a very powerful word. You're sincere, you pursue, you really want to give tzedakah, and you really want to give chesed. Hashem says to you, I will make it come out. Yimsa, I will grant you the siyata, the shmaya. Yimsa, you will find chayim, tzedakah v'chavot. You will find, now let's just focus on the middle word. The Medrash explicitly says in reference to the middle word, but it applies to the other two words as well. I don't know exactly how. But I will grant you the siyata, the shmaya, that you will find an opportunity to give real tzedakah where it counts, where it makes a difference, where the recipients are worthy of receiving your tzedakah, and that will be to your credit. You will have much greater siyata d'shmai. You know the story with the Chavetz Chaim, the story that when the person gives tzedakah, let's say a fundraiser goes and he raises $100,000. And in the yeshiva, there are all different types of boys. There's a boy that's a masmid. He sits and learns the entire day. And this boy one day becomes a big Talmud Chacham, big Marbitz Torah. And then in the yeshiva, there are boys that smoke the whole day. They're in the backyard. They do nothing. And from them does not come out much good. So when a person gives a check of $100, to who, where is your money going? Is your money going to support the boy that's smoking in the backyard, and from him does not come out much good? Or is your money going, that $100 is going to support the boy who is sitting and learning? So the answer is, it all depends on your machshava. People who give money, l'shem shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers the money that you have given went to support the people that really deserve it. And the people that are giving money, l'shem shemayim, for kavod, and the money is not come from holy sources, it will be end going to support people that it's not so important, it will go to pay for the toilet paper. Okay, you need the toilet paper in the yeshiva also, but that's not exactly where you want the money to go. And this really is the message of next week's parasha. Next week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu collected Azov, Adchelus, Vargam, and all the different 30 different types of materials, and it says you have to have lachshoiv machashavos laasois bazov vakesef vanachoyches vacharoyches eitz. That when Bitzal Moshe Rabbeinu was required to appoint the person as the right machshava, what does it mean to have the right machshava? The Medrash says that Bitzal, when he took a piece of gold, he knew that this gold came from this tzaddik who donated the money with mesiras nefesh l'shem shemayim. So it's going to be his gold. I'm going to use to make the Aron HaKodesh. But another person who gave gold, now l'shem shemayim, his gold will go for another part of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan. That's not so important. That's not ma'akev. That's not so noticeable. That's not. He had the machshava, lachshoy machashavos, to take the actual material and have it connect to the person that gave l'shem shemayim. And that idea is exactly what it says in the Mishkan. rooted here in this pasuk. If you're truly a roidev tzedakah of a chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant you that opportunity. Yimsa chayim tzedakah of a chavod, you'll find opportunities that will grant you chayim tzedakah and kavod. Kavod, of course, means kavod olam haba, honor olam haba, and not to have, not to waste, to squander your money on things which are nonsense. This is a Gemara in the Sechta Baba Basra. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my Lechsev, Roidiv Tztaka, Vachesi, Yim Tzachayim Tztaka, Mishum, the Roidiv Tztaka, Yim Tztaka. Then the Pasuk, if you want to take the Pasuk, literally means not so good. If I'm going to be Roidiv Tztaka, that means I'm going to become poor, and I'm going to be in need to be a recipient of Tztaka. Is that really what it means? Well, possibly it could, and it means that when you need Tztaka, your son will give you Tztaka. That's also an interpretation. But here the Gemara says, Elohim Lecha Kol Roidiv Achat Tztaka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mam Siloi Mos, number one, Hashem will give you money. You'll have money to give. The oisvem tztaka. Rav Nachman Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar. Furthermore, Hakadosh Baruch Hu mam silo bnei adam hamehu ganim. You will merit to have recipients who are fit, who are worthy. La sois lohen tzedaka kidei lekabel alehen schoroi. In order you'll receive the reward that you deserve.
We're along the line. That's what the Malbim says, that tzedaka is ben adam lamako. Chesed is ben adam lachavero. He says that if you do it, it's a tzedakah ben adam lamakom. God gives you the wherewithal, the hon rav, which you're going to do ben adam
lachavero. Okay. All right, we'll stop here.